This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Going to hear the voice of Mikey Meatballs, but rest assured, he is producing this disaster of a show. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds of D3, Harry, brother, Bri, Darren, the Parley Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
It's such a bummer. We could sound excited, but guys, there's one game left. Actually, I should be excited because the bad news is I'm 1-11 with these postseason picks. We'll get into that in a second. The good news is I did cash a future at 21-1 somehow for the Chiefs and 49ers to make it to the Super Bowl. Now, I had like four or five other of those. But anyway, 21-1, I'm proud of myself. 1-11, not so proud. Worst part of that is Harry is beating me. We have a cap of consequence in the balance hanging. You beat me now, Harry. You are 2-10. Congratulations. I don't know how you did it. 2-10 is better than 1-11 with one game left.
Look, I guess I could take the easy way out. I could just take who you're taking.
Well, you think I'm going to let you know my pick before you pick? I mean, of course, we're not doing it that way.
I think I can figure out who you're going to take.
I can figure out who you're going to take. So
You should.
Brian, what a colossal F up this would be, right? If he takes the Chiefs just thinking that I'm going to take the Chiefs because I think he's going to take the Niners because he hates the Chiefs, right? This is a mess all of a sudden.
Yeah. I mean,
to take the 49ers, shouldn't he?
That's what I said yesterday. I think he has to take the 49ers. He's gone against the Chiefs in all three games. He took the Dolphins.
Hates the
points.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
Mother F's them up and down the board
hates the
all
Chiefs.
Year.
I think, he's got to go against them. What's the tiebreaker, dude?
We got to figure that out. Yeah.
Purdy's from Gilbert, Arizona. And by the way, how are we not starting the show with my Yannick? We're not talking about my Yannick Sinner pick.
We're going to end it with that because we do have an email on that. But the hell cares? Why would we want to do that? Yes, Harry, you know, by the way, Harry, your two wins, you could easily, and this would be so much better for everyone if you had lost the two. It's essentially, Darren, he won on two, basically two-point conversions, a two-point conversion that didn't happen in the Tampa Bay-Detroit game, right, where Evans could have stopped short, went to catch it, right? I would win, he would lose there. And the Lions touchdown at the end, which, you know, was from two-point conversion land, like 2.5-3 yards away. Sure, Niners lucky to be covering at any point in that game, but freaking Harry gets the benefit of those coin flip plays, right?
Yeah, he did. So it could easily be 0-4 the playoffs right now. It's been a tough sled for pretty much all of us except for brother Bri.
All right, so Bri and Darren are now tied because Bri, you've been tremendous in these playoffs. What are you now? 8-4 in the playoffs?
8-4.
That's
yeah.
good. I mean, I would sign up. My God, I would kill for that. You and Darren are tied. This is great. Going into the last game, we're going to look ahead at that line right now. It's San Francisco, 1.5, 47.5 is the over under. I did with Simmons, I did guess the lines and that franchise might be dead. I mean, just the way it ended, it was so controversial. I guessed first, I guessed two. He's like, I was going to go two also. Maybe I'll just go 1.5 to be different. And goddamn it, of course, it was 1.5 at the time Sunday night when we did this. So I don't know. Yeah. Let Belichick come in. Let them go against each other. Let them cheat. Two cheaters square off. That's what it should be. I guess the lines going forward. But anyway, Harry, are you surprised by the 1.5? Which way do you think it shifts, if at all? Or is this the right number?
I think a little bit I'm surprised. I think it does shift. I think it shifts towards Kansas City. Forget about all the Swifties and the merchandise sales that are going to be profited from that. But Mahomes is 10-3 straight up as an underdog and 11-1-1 against the spread as an underdog. So I think it definitely shifts to the maybe the Chiefs, maybe the Chiefs minus 1-1.5.
But listen, then. He was 10-1-1 and 10-3 or whatever a week before. All those numbers were great going into Baltimore when he was an underdog, and it moved the other way. It moved from 3 to 4.5, Darren. What parlay kid? What's going on here? I'm surprised. I will say this is I don't have a lean on this right now. We're 10 days out, 11 days out, whatever it is. I don't have a lean. I think it's the first time in a while. And maybe at 11-1 or 1-11, I should take 6 weeks to consider who I'm going to pick here. But, Are you shocked at the 1.5? The more disrespect for the Chiefs.
It's continual. We saw it. We thought last week it would come back around and never did. It actually went the other way. So I guess I'm not really surprised. I guess if we really look at what the Chiefs have done, they're not scoring their typical, everybody's so used to the Chiefs years for years putting up, 35, 40, just really not the case with their offense. So they don't really pull away from anybody. And when you think they're going to pull away, they never do really, right? Teams hang around. It's kind of strange, but they get the job done. And I think you're looking for Brother Brian. I think you're looking at a tie. It's going to result in a tie.
Because you think you're both taking the same team?
I'm like 99% sure we're both going to be on the same team.
You're both taking the Chiefs. You could say that. You're both taking the Chiefs.
Yeah, if we can talk about it now, I would assume I don't think, unless Brian Knott would switch and go against that.
I could have done that last year, Darren. I didn't do it. I didn't take the easy way out.
Well, listen, take who you want. Take who you think is going to win.
I'm just saying, I can't think about that. I got to just think about who I really like in the game.
But Sal, right? a point to what you two were saying. But when is the last time have we ever seen a number one seed in like San Francisco have two playoff games where they probably should have lost both and definitely outplayed in both, and now they made it to the Super Bowl? And now they're a favorite against
Kansas City.
Messed
up year. Well, I mean, if you power rank them all year, they were like sometimes, Brian, at one point they were like 5 points better than the best team, So
yeah.
Do you keep, I see what the parlay kid is saying. The Chiefs offense, Chiefs are a great team. I don't care what you say, Harry. Great, great team. Underwhelming offense. The Niners defense is underwhelming too. So
right. I think that's what it's about.
And City defense is amazing.
Very strange how it's really moving up. But Bri, and perhaps I show my ignorance asking this question. Does it change if you open this up at Kansas City -1.5? Are people really betting because of the one? Are people, is it really determined that no, you can't make Kansas City 1.5 because what if the game ends on 1? Like, who cares who's favored 1.5?
Right. The 1.5 doesn't really matter. I mean, I guess the thing was when the line first opened up, supposedly it was, I don't know if the public got to see it, but 3. Supposedly 2.5 or 3. And at that point in time, it's like, all right, you got to take the Chiefs. And that's what brought it down. But 1.5 either way. I mean, I definitely could see what Harry's saying going to 1 or 1.5 to the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting because again, the Ravens were 4.5-point favorites. Bills were favorites. And I know this is neutral field, but I think there are still maybe potentially the pro bettors are still thinking, well, the Ravens and the 49ers were the two best teams throughout the whole year. If it was 4.5 with the Ravens on a neutral field, it still makes sense maybe for the 49ers to be a 1-point.
Yeah, that's favorite. I guess how they did it. Yeah,
but I totally hear what you're saying. I mean, I think that's the biggest issue right now is the 49ers defense. Although I will say that the Lions offense, again, at times, especially in these first halves of these games, they are explosive. They have a lot of speed. You know, the Chiefs aren't going to have that, but
yeah,
but yeah, it's still underwhelming. Their
that
defense.
Surprised I mean, me.
If they step up, we'll they have a chance to win. If they
Barley step Kid, up, but. As a teaser maniac, which I am as well, can't do a three teamer. Well, I guess you could, but it'd be kind of, you're going to do a lot of weird rooting throughout the game if you pick both teams and the over under or both over under and one team. But man, people, the one thing about the 1.5 is you should be all over 7.5 if you like the Chiefs and you have a lean on the over under, which is 47.5. You can move that 6 or 7 points. You agree?
I absolutely agree with that, Sal. It's a good point. That'd be a lot to give a Chiefs team. And, yeah. I don't know. Which way would you lean, though? Would you go? Would you
know.
Lean on the over or under there at this point? I don't know.
You know, that throw that Rams. What was it? Rams Patriots, Harry? There was just no scoring. It was disgusting a couple of years ago.
13-3, right?
You end up in the 40s almost always in these games, right?
Right.
But the other thing is people love betting the over. So this could, you might benefit by taking this right now with the Chiefs. If you like the over and over 41.5, because that's a number that could, I think, go up, right, Harry?
It could, but I'll tell you what, I know we're going to discuss it in a little bit, but this Kansas City defense has been,
I know.
I mean, you want to talk about Mahomes and Reed, it's all well
we do.
And good.
We're going to do it all.
But Mahomes, his numbers are somewhat pedestrian in the playoffs and over the last five games, this defense for Kansas City is not even really getting the credit they deserve. They've been unbelievable. I mean, they beat Miami, who was second in points scored, beat them easy. Bills were fourth in yards and sixth in points this year. And Baltimore, first in rushing. And they shut them all down with pretty much a lot, you know, they were amazing in all three.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll quickly recap, because I know people have moved on, but we'll recap the two Sunday games, the championship games. And then I have some stats. I love what the internet is doing. I mean, Bri, the internet really steps it up in the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl and like the week before. There's like great memes, great trends. And I found a couple that just floored me. I'm going to read those and we'll do that. We'll have our NBA picks, bet aches, and we have some email. And we'll do all that when we get back.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, so let's recap this Chiefs Ravens game. So I don't want to go play by play, but 17-10 final. Chiefs win. Very weird game in that each team let the other team have a major opportunity to get back in it or to win the game, right? Baltimore having absolutely no offense except for the one touchdown. They matched them, right? Chiefs had the big long drive. Baltimore goes and matches them. And then nothing afterwards. The Chiefs defense shut them down. But then Chiefs are not scoring in the second half. They only score three in the possession right before the half. And then they get the ball and they don't score. Right there for the taking for the Ravens. Didn't do it. 17-10 final. Parlay Kid, who gets, let's do this. Who gets the most credit? Who gets the most shit? And then who are you most surprised at? Most credit. Start us off.
Most credit, I think, I'll give it to the defensive unit of the Chiefs. It's easy. I mean, they're just so unheralded. And I don't understand really why. I mean, Spagnuolo, you know, former Giants defensive coordinator, who we got to see a lot of here when he was with the Giants, he's obviously very, very good. But this is, I think, by far the best overall defense the Chiefs have had. That this is where they excel, is on the defensive side of the ball. So I think they have to get the most credit in this game, Sal. Unfortunately, I think, I hate to say it, I mean, we could say it's a coaching issue, because the Ravens, they just didn't run the ball against a team where if they have a weakness, right, it was – I guess, against the run. And when they did
definitely.
They had
some 28th
success.
EPA against the run. All the research I'll take my 1-11, but damn it, the Ravens, third in the league running the ball, should have run the ball against the Chiefs.
And I agree, especially in that type of weather. Wasn't great, raining a little bit and cold and stuff. But I just don't know. Here's my thing is I don't know who I can blame that on just yet, because I don't know how much Lamar is able to audible out of, say, a pass into a run or vice versa. Mm-hmm. You know, so does he have the opportunity to call audibles and audible into a run or again, vice versa? So I think who should get the most crap, I guess it's got to be the MVP of the league, right? He is the MVP, and he had a very underwhelming game on the biggest stage, basically the second biggest stage. So I guess it's Lamar, but I think the coaching staff, because they got away from their run game, which they do so well, I think they got to take a lot of blame for that.
I'm with you. We'll get to your surprise in a second, because pretty much agree with that. Spagnuolo, you can't mention him enough. The problem is you don't want to lead on talk radio or in sports media when you're dissecting this game with the name Steve Spagnuolo. You have to crap on Lamar the decision not to run or hate on Kelsey and Taylor. Like that's what gets clicks, stuff like that. Steve Spagnuolo and that defense is spectacular. And that's why they are where they are. Of course, Mahomes just was dazzling with his play calling and things like that. But all right, Bri, most credit, who gets most crap?
Well, I'm going to say the same thing as you guys. Look, I think Spagnuolo gets the most credit, because I do think they had the perfect game plan, right? And the Ravens did play right into it. And Parley Kidd and I were talking about this, is the way they were rushing Jackson, they did such a good job of keeping him pretty much in the pocket, or even when he got out, there were still guys there, right? Like the tackles kind of never got up the field too far. The DNs, you know, never let him get outside. They had kind of a wide, very wide rush. Never let him get outside. But then they also had like safeties or D-backs flying up, especially in the second half. You could see some of those guys just flying up and making tackles as soon as Lamar got out. So I don't know if they're alternating spies or what they were doing there. But it was just a perfect game plan by them. And who gets the most crap? I do think it's Harbaugh. I mean, there's been
Todd Monken, Harbaugh. Yeah, that combination there, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, and again, that goes back to the credit, right? I will say, you know, the Chiefs kind of did what they had to do. I mean, I know we could say like in the second half, offensively, they were awful and the Ravens defense was great. But they were kind of just playing that almost like, I think it's going to continue to be the same thing. The Ravens are going to continue to try to pass the ball, and we're having success defensively, right?
They could have tested them more, though, Brian. I think there were only three early down runs from the Ravens
for 17 yards, right? It said three
for 17. So you're averaging more than 5 yards a carry. It's not like it didn't work.
Which made no sense, but it was just that. And you know, you're down seven immediately. You tie it up. You're down seven immediately again right after that, and it was almost like they abandoned it. I don't know why.
You would have thought it was 34-10 in the fourth quarter.
If they were down, whatever. I think you could justify it. If they were down two touchdowns immediately, you could justify, all right, maybe you can't. Again, the way this Chiefs offense is looking early, you can't. But again, I think that's on Harbaugh.
Yeah. Harry, are we missing anyone most credit? I know it's tough for you to give anyone on Kansas City a credit, but it's Max Spagnuolo's the one I'm mentioning.
This is the time to give one guy credit.
I'm giving the Kansas City defense all the credit in the world. This is the best defense that Mahomes era that they've had in Kansas City. Let me just say Miami, Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City in the second half has given up 10 points in the second half in those three playoff games combined. In the last five meaningful games for Kansas City, they've given up 13 points in the second half. The last six games overall, they've given up 19 points in the second half. Snead's been all over the place. He's been fantastic. Jarring the ball loose from Flowers was a huge play in that game. So I'm going to give all the credit, but I'm also going to give it the crap is Lamar. He's 0-5 now when down double digits at half. Three of those games happen to be against Kansas City. Beckham, Bateman, and Andrews combined 39 yards. Lamar had half that receiving on that one play from those three guys alone. And again, we mentioned not being able to run the ball. 81 yards when you came off having 229 against Houston. And I don't understand how all these other coaches that we really haven't heard too much of are in these positions for consideration for head coaching jobs. I don't know how Spagnuolo's not.
Yeah, it's funny what he's done here, Parlay Kid. I don't know if you realize it. He's taken the unit, the defense, which is great, obviously, but it's sort of, he's made, because it's separate from what everyone's saying, so he doesn't have to be on the hook for praising Mahomes or Andy Reid. But the truth is, that offense did everything but score. They did everything right but score. They were dazzling Mahomes with the screen pass, with the little hitch play over the middle. Like, everything was working. I had not seen anything like it. They, like, stymied the Ravens defense. Let's not forget, they were supposed to be good. And by the way, the Ravens defense was good, except for a few, like, dumbass, like, bonehead plays, Bri. It seemed like they were doing everything right, Chiefs, offensively. And I think Andy Reid gets credit for that. They just couldn't score a lot, which was weird.
Well, and you talk about those boneheaded penalties, Sal.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, like, you know, we like to complain about those, especially when Mahomes getting the calls. Like, those were ones that you couldn't even argue.
No.
We're just like,
no, you couldn't, because I would have heard Harry argue it by now.
I admit it.
Yeah.
There was one at the end that could have been argued, but Brian, you're right. Yep.
Yeah. They, so anyway. Zay Flowers, who gets the most crap? Zay Flowers is right there with them. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened with that guy. Just really just looked like a rookie that was happy to be there, celebrating, taunting. You can't not call him taunting. He hit all three prongs of taunting, like spinning the ball, put the hand on the head, you know, circling the guy, like everything
he's
going to do to taunt. Okay. And then to lunge for the end zone. Like you said, Snead made the great play there. But thanks, Zay Flowers. And then cuts his hand open on the sideline, throwing a tantrum. Most surprising, I'm going to go Kelce. I left him for dead, Parlay Kid. I was like, this guy, I don't know if it's the distractions or what. By God, he did go 8 games in a row without a touchdown. And he's like, I'm going to turn it on when I need to. I know what I'm doing here. 11 catches. I know there's Kelce, Taylor Swift fatigue, but I feel like he played us. He played us all, and that's my surprise. It's surprising to say that Kelce's a surprise, but that is who I'm going with. Who'd you have written down?
Yeah, I would say I was going with the other tight end in Andrews.
Yeah.
And I know you had, but you had Kelce for the first touchdown, Sal, so I don't know. I mean, you had him to score that first touchdown, right?
Yeah.
I had every tight end except for Kelce to score the first touchdown this week. And I'll tell you why I say it's Andrews, because like Harry just gave the numbers. It comes back. You think this is going to be a big boost for that Ravens offense. And he was never part of the offense. Even though they didn't run the ball, he was still not part of the passing game. And I wonder if, in a way, if that hurt the offensive chemistry that they had developed late in the season without Andrews on the field. And I'm an Andrews guy. He's a good heck of a player, but, really was a non-factor. I thought if he was coming back, he would be 100% or as very close to it and be a factor in the game. And he was an absolute non-factor. So I'll take the other tight end as the biggest surprise.
None of those guys got open. It's so crazy, right? I'm looking now.
Yeah.
Like even likely, you figured he had 2 catches. Beckham just couldn't get open for his life. And you're right. Lamar, 13-yard reception. I mean, Zay Flowers had 5 for 115, but really blew it for them. All right, Bri, most surprising.
Well, I think the most surprising for me is, you know, in terms of Lamar decision-making, the fact that he's going to be MVP, you thought maybe by this time, right? I know he's not the traditional quarterback, but you thought maybe that this offense was kind of in a rhythm with the speed they had that they could kind of exploit the defenses. I thought Lamar could have been, I mean, he was so bad though. I thought he could have been picked off like 5 or 6 times in that game. Right.
Yeah. His sidearm short throws were batted down.
Nothing was working. I mean, he had the fumble, he had the fumble too. That was huge early in that game, I just thought he could have thrown 5 or 6 picks in that game.
I think it'd be funny if he asked for a contract extension at the end of the year. I think that's the way to do it if you're Lamar. All right, Harry, who's surprised? I mean,
again, it's just the lack of the game didn't get away from Baltimore. They were always in the game. So the lack of focusing on running the ball was just amazing, considering, again, 229 last week, the week before against Houston, only 81 here. And Gus Edwards, his first carry right up the gut for 15 yards. He touched the ball two more times the entire game. The entire game. They didn't try Justice Hill.
Either. Let's call him Hill.
They didn't trust Hill that much either. He only had three carries. And to be honest, Lamar Jackson's rushing, there weren't really a lot of plays there designed for him to just take off. Maybe a fake, like you're thinking they're going to throw, and then he takes off. Not really. And he had about 20 yards of that 54 that he had, which wasn't great at the end of the game when Kansas City was giving that to him.
Justice Hall was the name of the building you were sent to, Harry, when you were arrested for public intoxication as a 19-year-old, I think. Is that right there? We go right there next to Town Hall.
What did I do? I did do that. Didn't I
know you did. All right. Let's do the other one real quick. San Francisco, Detroit, 34-31. So now I lost on the Baltimore game. And I was like, well, I don't recommend this to anyone, but I'm like, I'm going San Fran money line. I have to do it. I can't. So obviously, I'm just like hiding under the covers for most of that game. No business being in there until the end, except great comeback. So let's figure it out, Parley Kid. I'm going to say I had trouble with who gets the most credit because unlike the first game, no one from start to finish had an amazing 3 hours, right? Fred Warner had 13 tackles, if you want to put him in there. I have a feeling I know who you're going to take. I'll lead you in there. Brock Purdy was exceptional in the second half, aside from maybe one pass. So you want to take it from here?
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I think San Francisco was fortunate and very lucky. They had a couple of bounces go their way in this game, and a couple boneheaded. It's very much more easier for me to pick on who gets the most crap for this. So I'll throw Purdy a bone here because I think even early in that game, we're getting texts from Lil A and other people we know going, this guy's a bum. He's terrible. He's terrible. And I'm like, what? I just don't see it. I get it. But I feel like when the chips are down, no matter how poorly he's played to a point, Purdy, he always seems to rebound, right? Like he's very even keeled. He never gets too up or too down, and he just plays football. And he made some plays with his feet. He had, obviously, his rushing totals were very high in the game. And he made some big throws. I mean, you watch it. I know the ball doesn't seem like – he seems like the right-handed like Tua, right? Like the ball's not coming out great, but it's getting there. He just makes plays when he has to. Look, you take McCaffrey off that offense and Debo coming back. I always said, and I've said this on the podcast, Debo's the critical component to that team. When he doesn't play, they really struggle.
Oh, the numbers are right there. Yeah.
It's very simple. But I'll throw Purdy a bone for
his second half numbers, if you read Peter King or just look at him in a box score, are exceptional in the Packers game and in the game the other day against the Lions. But the weird thing about football, you're so close, feast and famine. It's just one play away, right? Like we could be talking about Josh Allen and not the Chiefs if they win that game, right? Every game is really just a matter of one or two plays, right, Bri? Like it just seemed like not Cowboys Packers. That was like six or seven plays that had to go the Cowboys way for them to win that. But most games here is just like, oh, if one play, and that's why I hate to do this, but Brady, we should never stop talking about what Brady did. Just making the AFC champ. Forget about the six Super Bowls with the Patriots, the one with the Bucks. Just being there for the AFC championship, knowing and seeing so many times that the bounce of a ball could just change it so much, right? It's just unbelievable. And what I'm talking about here is Purdy throwing a dime to the Lions safety's helmet up down 24-10. If he intercepts that and it's not bouncing around and hits Ayuk and whatever, we might be talking a different story because I believe in streaks. 24-10, maybe they don't have the momentum there. So I don't have a whatever. I'm going to pass on the who gets the most credit. Bri, give us most credit. and then we'll get into most credit.
I'm doing what you just said. I'm doing what you just said. I'm giving most credit to Ayuk just because I do think the momentum in that game, I mean, that is such a crazy play. And I know a lot of it has to do with the D back there potentially picking it off. But Ayuk makes such a special play on that ball that that immediately changes the game around. Right. I mean, and then you get it. You can't really, the next play, you get a fumble. I mean, you can't, you know, I know there was a lot of guys on that, but immediately the game is tied right after that. I mean, you're potentially going down 17 or 21 and the game is going to be over. But Ayuk comes up with that play. And I just thought the momentum changed as soon as he made that catch.
Harry, you have anyone different for star of the game or star unit or anything?
No, but just, you know, McCaffrey was fantastic as usual. I mean, he just ran so hard. He was so strong. What do you have? Over 130 combined, 2 touchdowns. We expect that from him. But Sal, I'm kind of with you in taking Purdy because of what he did. Like you said, second half to Green Bay, second half on Sunday, being able to take off, run the ball, get first downs, average almost 10 yards a carry in that game. And yeah, very fortunate with that pass. Absolutely. But still made some key plays and key passes. I think it's more Purdy that gets the nod there because a lot of people were against him heading into that game, and he proved them wrong in the second half.
All right, now quickly, because I know this has been discussed ad nauseum, but I'm not gonna crap on Coach Campbell as much as everybody else here. I the kicker was Badgley's like from 48 plus is 53% or something. And this has been his thing all year going forward on 4th and 2 and 4th and 3. And I think he likes that he doesn't have a great kicker because then he could just say, well, we don't have a great kicker. So I go for it and I'm going to go for it anyway. How about catch a pass, Lions? How about what the hell happened to them at halftime where they all decided to catch passes, including the drop passes, including on a 4th and 3. That first time they went was a drop or, you know, a little throw behind them. But if you catch a freaking pass, we don't have to talk about referees. We don't have to talk about coaches and stuff like that. So I'm going to give the most shit to the Lions receivers. Also, Chase Young, who seems to shouldn't be in the NFL right now. I don't even know if he's going to make the Super Bowl roster at this point. Bry, who gets the most crap?
Well, it's funny that you say that with Young, because I know there's a potential they might bench him. And then maybe that's one of the reasons why the 49ers defense has not been that good when the guy's being super lazy in that. But who gets the most shit, right? You could talk about Campbell. You could talk about Reynolds, right? Dropping two huge passes. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely the most shit goes to Harry. Because if you recall, on our text chain, up 14, he gives he sends the photo of his cartoon of him holding the lion above his head.
Yes.
And immediately after he sent that, I'm pretty sure that decision to not go for the field goal to go up 17 happened immediately after he sent that.
Should have live bet the hell out of it.
I told you, whenever Harry does something like that, it's an automatic jinx, right? Whenever he mentions a bet of his, whenever he does something like that, automatic jinx.
So why do you do that, Harry?
Gotta be
for years. It's been this way. Why do you do that?
Kind of fun.
It's fun. It's fun to control the destiny of the team you root for in a negative way. I don't know, Parlay Kid. But we knew it. We knew it right away as soon as he sent that to us, right? Just disgusting.
Oh, we knew. Yeah, we all laughed. Well, it was immediate. And like, so you make some good points. And this is why, you know, through the media, you know, quarterbacks constantly get blamed and all this stuff. But you're right. It's such a slim margin between being a hero or a goat. Yeah. It's incredible. Like, but it does seem like there are some teams that catch those breaks more often than others, right? Like, you know, as we watch Romo, we'd always be like, you know, probably that pass gets picked if that's Tony Romo, right? With like Purdy, he seems to have some magic in a way that, I don't know, with his career, things are going his way. And so in terms of the most crap for me, I hate to say it, and I know you know, I get it, but when you're up 14, when they were up 14, right, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what the time was right
now. This is the second.
7 minutes left.
The second time, 7 minutes ago in the game.
7 minutes left in the third.
Right.
Okay. It's a 45-yard field goal, Sal. It's not. It's a very makeable field goal, and it's a fourth and a long two for Detroit. I think you got to just kick that. You got to, if you go up 17, psychologically, that game is most likely over at that point. I don't see how it couldn't have been over. When they don't get it there, and it's still a 2-touchdown game, I mean, talk about having some life. But then again, that pass could have easily been picked, and then it wouldn't have mattered. So I don't know.
Right, I mean, Campbell, I know. Look, catch
he's done
ball,
a great
though.
Job. He's done
catch
a great job.
Lions receivers, yeah. Lions safety. What's that guy's name? Kindle? Catch the friggin' ball. Anybody catch the ball?
Lions, I mean, Reynolds dropped several passes. I mean, that
craziness.
Was, it was bad.
Biggest surprise for me, Lions rushing attack worked 182 yards. That was a surprise. I mean, we saw Gibbs like just, it'd be like 3rd and 12, and it's just like kind of a leisurely jog to the sticks. Outside, they were gashing them. Inside, they were gashing them. 182, you would have bet a lot on the Lions to at least cover, and they did that, but maybe even the win. And that's going forward, a little bit rough. You don't think of Pacheco, you know, holding, held in high regard as Montgomery and Gibbs are in terms of putting up like a 182. But, Brian, what surprised you most?
Well, I mean, we've already talked about it. And look, I don't know if it's as, I mean, you could totally say it was the Lions' offensive line was great in that game, yeah. Right? I mean, they were opening up some big holes, and so they could get all the credit. I do think, though, the 49ers defense, we talked about it, but I just don't know what's missing there, because yeah. I will say the linebackers, like, you know, Warner and those guys are, I feel like they are all over the field having to make plays. I feel like the defensive line just, for whatever reason, has really not stepped
holes
up
are
in
too
a couple.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah. They haven't really stepped up in it. You know, I was expecting those guys to be somewhat dominant. It's not happening. And I think that's causing some issues, yeah. On the back end for them.
All right. I don't know if anyone has anything to add to the surprise. Another surprise coming in, Ben Johnson staying on as offensive coordinator with the Lions.
Yeah.
Strange. So I guess Washington gets Vrabel now. Is that what we're going to, I mean, we might even get that news, but yeah, it's interesting because we talked about these guys taking interviews and, you know, Ben Johnson took a bunch of interviews and still like towed the line. And like, I wonder what Dan Campbell thinks of something like this, right? Like, hey, you took all those interviews, didn't work out, or maybe it's about to work out for one thing, but you want to come back here? It's a little bit, it's a weird dynamic. It's why they should not allow these interviews. It's just such weirdness now.
Although I thought, I don't know why.
He took four interviews that first week.
Well, I don't know why somebody's not hiring him though.
Yeah.
I mean, their game plan and offensively, again, there was nothing. I mean, he did a fantastic job, right? If you're going to go for it on those fourth down, like.
Yeah. He lost the race to 30 though. That was kind of his thing.
Yeah. His receivers failed him. The decision to go for it was Campbell. So he failed him. I thought the game plan and the way they execute on offense is great though. So he's the type of guy, you know, your McDaniel and these new type of offensive coaches. I mean, he should be the head coach of a team.
Well, I think that's what, I think he realized those places that were left.
Right. I mean, it's true.
Were more dead end jobs for him at least. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm not sure who would want that Commander's job, to be honest with you.
A little bit of a weird
now,
thing, though. If he took the Commander's job and the OC is Bieniemy, who's been passed up by everybody for head, I guess he would just be fired, right? Like Bieniemy would be like,
yeah.
A lot of times those guys bring in their own guys too.
Yeah, that would have to be it. All right, let's quickly go to the, like I said, I brought up earlier, the internet really, it's the place to be for these 2 weeks because you comes up with great stuff. I'm sent 10 things a day that I'm laughing about and like it makes me think with the Super Bowl, whether it's Taylor Swift related or not. But let's go with the super stat of the week. This actually is not exactly Super Bowl related, but maybe Harry, I'll listen up. This one really surprised me. Patrick Mahomes has now played 17 playoff games. This is from our friend Robert Mays. 17 playoff games, Harry. So that's a full season. His numbers in that season, 67.4%, 4,802 yards, 39 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and which is pretty much in line with his MVP numbers from 2022. But the difference is it's against the best teams on the biggest stage over 6 years. Yeah. Robert Mays says that. Come on, Harry.
Pretty impressive.
Defense is great, but give me a break.
Yeah, And defense has been way better than great because if you, you know, like I said, you know, Mahomes' numbers over the last five games, kind of pedestrian. When people want to give him all the credit in the world, that's, I hear it. I get it. But the last five games, he's averaged 240 yards passing and one touchdown a game. Okay. Mm-hmm. The big thing is he hasn't thrown a pick since that Raiders debacle.
I feel like I get the impression in that last game, though, if Mahomes needed to, we could have thrown for 404 touchdowns.
Well, yeah. I think, you know what?
I really got that impression in that game. If he had
I think in that game, he could have probably, if he wanted to, thrown for about 77% completion percentage in that game.
I mean, geez. I just don't.
Every pass
I don't
was
think
there.
I've ever seen a guy being able to scramble the way he does, especially because he's not exceptionally fast, but or like agile, but somehow he's able to scramble inside that pocket and keep his eyes downfield better than anybody I've ever seen.
Right.
Like it's like you don't know where he sees these guys from sometimes. Amazing, amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a shortstop thing or what the hell goes on there, Parlay Kid, but
right.
It's really something else. It's something to watch. I don't necessarily think he has to get to 7 Super Bowl wins to get to Brady, but Brady played 22 years. We got to see what? We got to see another half decade out of him, right, Bri? 5 wins in 11 or 12 years? Maybe, but let's pump the brakes a little.
Yeah, look, if he wins this one, he wins another before he's 30.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely the best stretch a quarterback has had.
Right? I've said this. I think it's most
dominant. I mean, again, even Brady's first Super Bowl or some of the others. I mean, you know, it wasn't necessarily. I know you could say the defense here, but I will say, like, they just manage the game so well. It's just like it's almost like they're smarter than everybody between Brady and Mahomes. They just do what they have to do. You know, even there was games in the past, too, where they don't care if they cover. They just, you know, they just want to win the game. They kind of play to what the other team is doing. But Mahomes hasn't even been, I don't know. Right. You see these other quarterbacks. Right. You see these other quarterbacks almost throwing 5 or 6 interceptions. Like Purdy could have had a few. Lamar. Yeah. I feel like Mahomes isn't even close. Like to turn right. He's not even close to turning the ball over.
I think you're right. This was another stat. Now I'm reading it. I don't understand it. Brian, did you send this? The 49ers and Chiefs have no Alabama players on their active roster.
I sent that.
Parlay Kid. So a streak continues that no player who finished college at Alabama has scored a point in a Super Bowl. Players from 143 other colleges from Coast Guard, 1 point, to Miami, 84, have scored in the Super Bowl. How is this? That's not right. That's right? Jalen Hurts didn't go to Alabama?
I guess he... It's like Joe Namath, right? He was in Alabama, but I think it's like actually scoring a point.
Did he not like run a touchdown in Hurts? Harry, he didn't have a rushing touchdown, Hurts?
That's a good question.
I guess not.
Yes, not.
According to that guy.
I guess this would be a really weird thing to go out on a limb about. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't. That's astounding if that's true. What the hell? Let's think back now. Wide receivers, any of these guys?
Jalen Hurts did score a rushing touchdown.
He did. What is this stat?
He scored multiple.
Everything
multiple.
I said.
Oh, wait a second.
Three rushing touchdowns last year.
Wait a second.
He didn't finish Alabama.
Read the tweet again.
What is this? Some riddle with the 49ers Chiefs having no Alabama players on the roster. A remarkable streak can continue. No player who finished college at Alabama has scored.
Because he finished at Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Finished at Alabama.
All right. I see. Okay.
There we go. That's the catch.
All right. So that's something else. So he should have gone to Coast Guard. That's what we said. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll then do some NBA picks quickly, and then we'll get out of here.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
All right, we are going to give our picks. NBA Wednesday night. Parlay Kid and I got hammered last Thursday. Oof. Absolutely hammered. I had the Heat They got crushed by the Celtics, 143-1. I think they're still scoring the Celtics. Shot like 70%, something crazy. Parley Kid, you were not as upset because Denver, who you picked, got demolished by the Knicks.
Yeah, I was fine with that one. Yeah, I was fine.
Interesting team now, the Knicks now. Well, the Randall thing is weird. You may lose him for a month, but could be a trade in the works. Could be a lot going on with that team.
A great team, fun team ever since that trade there.
Yep.
Their defensive, number one defense in the league. Loving the Knicks. They got to survive these injury or two right now. Get through when they got a nice homestand coming up here for a while as well against some winnable teams. So let's get it done. Keep getting it done.
Let's give our picks. Paulie, go ahead. You have the floor. Give your pick for Wednesday.
Well, yeah, I'm going to take the look. I went with the Nuggets last week. I'm going to go against them here. The Nuggets are coming off two exhilarating wins against the Bucks and the Sixers. Two big wins. And the Thunder, who are now a half game behind Denver and a game behind Minnesota, are coming off two clunkers. One devastating loss against the Pistons and then losing against the T-Wolves. So what does that usually mean in the NBA? Well, they come back home here now to take on the Nuggets and what should be maybe their biggest game of the year. I think this is going to show us whether they are really for real or for not. I think they're for real. And I think they bounce back off two terrible losses, especially that Detroit loss, to a team that's coming off two very big wins. I think emotions will be down for Denver, up for OKC. OKC rides that momentum to a win, or at least rides that crowd and the excitement tonight to a win straight up against the Nuggets.
The sports guy says OKC, a lock for number one seed. Doesn't even want to hear about it, Brian.
Ooh, they're in third place in that division right now, Sal. Yeah. They got to win. Tomorrow's game is huge. It's huge for them.
Well, you can't lose to the Pistons and then all of a sudden get the one seed.
That should be true. Take it away. What you got?
Yeah, I'm taking the Kings plus one over the Heat. It's weird. This Heat team is really in a funk, right? Even though they've had a tough schedule, they lost seven straight, three straight at home. I'm not really sure what's going on there. And I know they brought Rozier in and maybe they're not the same defensively in the last couple of games that they brought him in. And then on the other side, the Kings have won four straight, including three on the road here. So they've been playing really well against some pretty decent teams. So I'm going to stick with the hot team here and say the Kings continue to roll and I'll take the plus one.
All right, Harry, you got the Milwaukee Bucks, another scatterbrain team, giving almost double digits to the Blazers, right?
Yeah, I've seen 9.5, seen 10, 10.5. I'm going to lay it with the Bucks, and normally I don't do that. But Blazers, this team is 19 games under 500, 4-11 in the last 15. They did get a huge win for them on Monday by 26 over a Embiid-less Sixers squad. Doc Rivers now the coach for the Bucks. They lost against Denver on Monday, but the next four games are on the road. After Portland, they play Dallas, Utah, Phoenix. I think Doc and the Bucks blow out the Blazers here, Sal. I think they win this win by 15 to 20 points. Portland's second worst offense in the NBA. I hit both my picks last week when we did this. So I'm going to go with a favorite here. I'm going to take the Bucks and the late points.
There you go. I'm going to go Suns. This is an ABC game Wednesday night. 3.5-point favorite over the Nets. Suns are on the road. Nets won by 33 over the Jazz Monday. Bridges had 33. Suns beat the Heat by 13. Everyone's beating them. As Brother Bri pointed out, Eric Gordon is a high scorer. Phoenix has won seven. They lost two now back-to-back. Back to their winning ways. They won seven, lost two. Now they're winning again. They're trying to play their way out of that 7-10 mess. They don't want to get involved in that. Nets trying to play their way into the 10th place spot. Phoenix 10 under against the spread, but 11-11 against the number on the road. Beal, Gordon now, Booker, Durant, too much offense, top 10 versus 21 defensively. Take the Suns, lay the points over the Nets. Let's take a quick break and then we're going to get out of here.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. That's where you go to write us, make fun of us. Plenty to make fun about, mine and Harry's part. But this guy actually praises Harry. Simon Kerwood emailed us at Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. He says, Simo here, loyal listener from Ballarat, Victoria, Australia. I know I screwed up the pronunciation there. Massive fan of you, especially love Harry. Harry, it's amazing you tip sinner and congrats, but unfortunately you mentioned Sydney four times in your predictions. The Aussie Open is in Melbourne, Victoria, and not Sydney. It's actually a massive insult to mistake Melbourne for Sydney. To make up to the Melbourne fans, maybe come down under when Bruce plays here. Cheers and keep up the good work. Simon Kerwood, Ballarat, Victoria, Australia. All right, Harry, apologize again.
I do, but boy, you know, did I say Sydney? I don't remember saying Sydney. I must have, but...
This guy's a massive fan of yours. He's paying attention. Listen, yeah,
Darren, how many fans do we have from Australia, Darren? How many write to us and look, send us stuff from Australia? It's amazing. Australia,
I think it's like our third biggest market or something after New York.
Australia, they're the best. I love it. They're great.
But I do say...
How about just an apology, Harry? Really?
I'm sorry for screwing up the cities, but I still gave out a, you know... when I bet him, he was 17-1. I said that in 10 championships, the titles that he has, 9 of them have been on hard court. The Australian Open in Melbourne is on hard court. So there you go. That made sense.
Thanks for writing in, Simon, but can you change the time difference? That's the only day. I would have loved to have seen that Sinner match, the 5 sets after going down 2, but I wasn't anywhere. Well, I would have fell asleep during the football games. I couldn't have that, right?
And plus, Sal, if you're down 2-0 in the finals, you weren't watching the rest.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
I asked Harry if he had what he had on it, and he sent us a bet from four months ago. It was a parlay he had, and Jesus. He had Florida State in it, but he wrote on the ticket like Travis injury, like that.
Put it this way, Brian. If Creighton wins the national championship, that's one heck of a crazy parlay that lost because Florida State had the injury to Jordan Travis and weren't able to play in.
Wait a minute, what was the bet? Florida State wins the championship? Is that what the bet was?
Florida State wins a championship.
Well, calm down. Even if he plays, that's your double digit.
And Creighton has to win the championship.
Okay, yeah, we got ways to go with this.
That was his big center bet. He had a $2 parlay.
No, with all right. I had 20 on center at 17-1.
We didn't see that one.
You must have written all over that ticket too. Nobody could tell what it was. Right.
I cashed.
Good job, Harry. Thanks for the email there. Unbelievable.
When the French Open comes around, we'll have picks for that too.
Yes. Where is that? In Nice, France? Tell us, misguide our crowd again. All right. Listen, that's it. That's going to do it. Now, Cousin Sal's winning weekend coming up. You'll see these guys on there. That's Friday on FanDuel TV. You're going to see the playmaker, Michael Irvin. I sit and talk to him. Always a good time. And that's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds for Mikey Meatballs and the 3D3. I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.